Everybody, this is Harriet Kemmerich, the host of Down to Earth, the show in which we talk about the issues that matter. And today on our show, I want to share something with you. And I want to share with you this question. Trust the wisdom of God. See where I'm going with this? Trust the wisdom of God. So often what happens to us is that we can't see God. We have never seen God. So when we get instructions or when we hear that still small voice from within, we don't know what to do. We can't see God. So it's not like God is our grandfather or our father sitting in front of us and says, "Thus saith the Lord from the wisdom of the ancients," and just imparts wisdom. No, the still small voice of God is like you driving down the street and you hear a voice say, you come to this fork in the road and you're supposed to turn left or right. And you hear a voice say, turn right. And you're like, I think I'm going to turn left. So you turn left. And when you go left, you see all kinds of bad stuff. You see an accident. You end up sliding down the street. And you're like, oh, my God, if I had known, I would have taken the right turn. That's the wisdom of God. We often can't see why. Because God does the big picture. So sometimes when we hear these instructions from God, we struggle with it. Because we can't see it. God has the big picture. Just keep that in mind. That's what I've had to do in my life. God sees the end from the beginning. It even says so in the Bible. He's Alpha and Omega. So he can see the end of it before I even start. So that is why we trust in the wisdom of God. Because we're making a decision today. But we can't see the far-reaching effects of that decision and how it will impact our lives and the people around us. But God can. We can't see how that decision that we make today has ramifications for the other people around us. But God can. So what do? We trust the wisdom of God. And I'm going to take you into the scriptures and show you a woman, an ancient woman who lived and who believed so much in the wisdom of Solomon that she trusted in Solomon's wisdom. And what does it mean for us? How does that impute onto us? How does that affect you? You might be sitting there saying, Harry, how will that affect me in the decision that I have to make? Well, give me 2 minutes of your time. I'm going to show you how that decision to trust in the wisdom of God will help you. But first, let me tell you a little bit about who I am. If this is your first time watching us, my name is Harriet Kemmerich. I am the host of Down to Earth. It's a podcast that you can hear on major streaming platforms wherever you are. Apple, Google Podcasts, all sorts of podcast platforms, all the major platforms, including the one where you are. You can also find us on select TV stations around the country. In addition to which, I am an author and speaker. I talk about women's issues. I talk about faith and its impact on our lives. So for more information, you can go to theexodusfoundation.com. There you will find more information on how we impact and affect women in our community. I'm also the founder of the Exodus Foundation. We started this organization to be an advocate for women, to help women who are fleeing sex trafficking, who are fleeing human trafficking, and who are fleeing intimate partner violence. Amen? Amen. So for more information, feel free to go to theexodusfoundation.com to find more information about us and what we do. I'm also a preacher, so I talk about faith and its impact on our lives. In fact, faith and trusting in the wisdom of God is what brought me through many seasons of my life. Amen? Amen. And so I bring this message to you today, hoping in the hope that you will find that you yourself can anticipate and know the wisdom of God for whatever decision that you might be facing. Amen. Amen. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 9. This is a scripture that you can also find in 2 Kings as well. And it's about the Queen of Sheba and her visit to King Solomon. 2 Chronicles chapter 9. And if you don't have a Bible, you can download the Bible app. The Bible app can be found on any, either in the Google Play Store or in the Apple Play Store. And you can access this at any time. Amen. So the Queen of Sheba, huh? Imagine that, the Queen of Sheba visiting King Solomon. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verses 1 to 11, we're reading from the New King James Version. And I'm going to put on my glasses at this point, yeah? And it says, the Queen of Sheba, now when the Queen of Sheba, in verse 1 of 2 Chronicles 9, it says, now when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to Jerusalem to test Solomon with hard questions, having a very great retinue, camels that bore spices, gold in abundance, and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions, so that there was nothing difficult for Solomon that he could not explain it to her. And the Queen of Sheba, she had her own reign, her own kingdom. So she wasn't looking for a sponsorship or validation of her, of herself. She was, in fact, validated by her presence. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, listen to this, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers and their apparel, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe their words until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half of the greatness of your wisdom was not told me. You exceed the fame of which I heard. Listen to this. This is instructions for those of us who lead and those of us who have people who serve us. Listen, in verse 7, here's what it says. Happy are you men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. It tells us that we are to lead, and that we should lead in such a way and lead the people around us in such a way that they serve us with happiness, that they serve us understanding and believing and want to hear our wisdom. Blessed be the Lord God, it continues in verse 8, who delighted in you, setting you on his throne to be king for the Lord your God, because your God has loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore, he made you king over them to do justice and righteousness. This is specific to that group of people at that time in history. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold. We're going to come to how much that would be in today's world. Spices in great abundance and precious stones. There never were any spices such as those the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Also, the servants of Hiram and the servants of Solomon who brought gold from Ophir, they brought algum wood and precious stones. And the king made walkways of the algum wood for the house of the Lord and for the king's house. Also, harps and stringed instruments for singers. And there was none such as these seen before in the land of Judah. Father, in Jesus' name, let me decrease so that you might increase. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, I pray right now for my brothers and sisters who are in war zones. I pray that you bring peace to Gaza and you bring peace to Jerusalem. I pray that you bring peace to Ukraine. I pray that you bring peace to world leaders. I pray that you bring peace in our hearts right here at home, wherever home is for us, O God, in the Sudan, in Somalia, in Ethiopia. I pray you reduce poverty and eliminate poverty. I pray you bring peace to war mongers and to warlords who continually effect worse things on the people and harsh conditions on the people. I pray that the persecution that Christians in Pakistan and China are facing be erased. I pray, O God, for the wickedness that has come against people who are trying to worship in Nigeria and in Pakistan, that you bring resolution to the crises. In the name of Jesus, I pray, O God, for people in their own lands that they can stay in their own homes. I pray for people who are continually migrating to even people at our border here, O God, who are desperately trying to get into the United States because where they're coming from is so bad. Oh my God, have mercy on us, even as we face our own challenges right at home, even as we face the challenges right now for those of us who live in the northern climates and we operate activities that generate income, but there will be no snow. because of climate change. The earth has changed. Oh, Lord God, we are hearing you. Hear our prayer on this morning for someone who is in hospital bed, who is about to contemplate losing a limb. I pray that you strengthen them, Jesus, in this decision that must be made, that if at all possible, oh God, you strengthen the clavicles and the sinew and the muscle in their limbs, in Jesus' name. I see that happening, and I pray that God will bring healing to that situation right now, in Jesus' name. I pray for someone who needs a job this week, that you open doors and windows and pour out blessings upon the people. I pray right now that you heal our hearts who are broken, for someone who has lost a spouse, someone who has tried everything, someone who is taking care of a child who is unwell or a child who has special needs, for someone who has to bury a loved one this week. Oh, Lord God Almighty, wrap yourself around us and give us, oh God, the peace to go through it. And I thank you for your provision right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, I find myself inadequate before you, O God. And I ask you that the words I have spoken, please hear my heart, O God. And what is on my heart, you bring it up for on behalf of the people, for women who are facing intimate partner violence and men who are facing conditions that they have nothing else to cope with. I pray right now that you hear our prayer, even those spoken from our hearts, that you heal us, O God, and heal the ventricles of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I myself find that I too have to trust the wisdom of God. I find that in the story of Queen of Sheba visiting Solomon is a type and shadow of you and I going before God. We seek the wisdom of God when things happen in our lives that we can't fathom. There's no explanation. When things happen, like you say, Harriet, how do you explain to me? I just lost my son. I didn't anticipate that I would ever bury my son or bury my daughter. I didn't think that such a thing could ever come to my doorstep. For so many of us, and this is a worldwide phenomenon, it's not just happening to us here in America, where we send our children to school and they don't return, that we get a phone call that we are to meet the law enforcement at the hospital or gather in a certain place. There's nothing more frightening than being the parent who gets that call. And when you show up at the school, you and others, a few select others, are standing in a special area. By now, you know what that could only mean. Nothing more frightening than that. How do you trust the wisdom of God? How do you say, but Harriet, when I was pregnant, when I conceived with that child, when I carried that child, I never knew such a thing could ever happen. I never anticipated, while I held them in my arms and rocked them to sleep, while I taught them how to walk, how to talk, how to read, that I would ever put my child in a grave where I can't see them, where they can't talk to me. How do I trust in the wisdom of God? It happens to us. We understand that we marry folks and we sometimes they leave before we do. Somehow we kind of understand that and find that acceptable. We look at what is happening around us and we ask ourselves, where is God? And the traditional messages that we have heard somehow are not helping us to cope with the challenges that we face today. And I'm going to apologize on behalf of everyone who has ever preached that we have not been adequately prepared for the challenges of the present time. We've reached a stage in our world today where the only wisdom that prevails is the wisdom of God. I feel like it is the way in which we try to guide people to show them how to trust in the wisdom of God is perhaps going to be the beginning of the peace, individual peace. We may not achieve world peace. We understand that people feel different. There are people who are forever going to fight about ancestral lands. They're forever going to fight about good and evil or what they perceive their perception of good and evil is. There are people who are forever going to fight because they have some kind of beef, as the kids would say, that go back 5,000 years because one cousin married that one and it didn't work out. Suffice it to say that humankind will always find a reason with which to fight. What it comes down to is on an individual level, that at an individual level, we start seeking peace. the way we're going to do that is we're going to have to trust in the wisdom of God. Much like Queen of Sheba, who lived in her own land. She had her, as you can see from the description that was given, she had enough wealth that she could travel miles upon miles with her own retinue, the Bible says. So she came with her own entourage. And she could travel with spices and 100 talents of gold. I was so curious about what 100 talents of gold is. I went and looked it up. In today's dollars, in U.S. dollars, 100 talent and 20 talents of gold 5,000 years ago is equal today to $225,335,967.48. You heard that right. She gave this man $225 million. That's how much she believed and prized his wisdom. She traveled all the way to hear what Solomon's wisdom is. That is an indication for us that for whatever we are going through, we must seek the wisdom of God. King Solomon here is like seeking the wisdom of God. It's like God. You're seeking out because you don't know what decisions you have to make. You cannot understand and see the full ramifications of those decisions. We can never fully comprehend the consequences of which, frankly, if we could, we would never have world wars. Do you know how we end up at world wars? We end up at wars because someone made an incalculable mistake. Someone miscalculated what the effects of a long-term decision was going to be. We're looking at the struggle in the Middle East right now with Palestine and Israel. Oh my goodness, can we just stop? This has been going on forever. Why is that a problem today? You want to know why? Because in 1947, the British decided they were going to give the Jews a homeland again. And they chose to give them the land that was Palestine. Someone's incalculable mistake, almost 80 years later, is suddenly producing wars and rumors of wars. Israel has been at war forever. 1967, 1968, 1973, 1993, 2014, 2005, and today, 2023. Why? Someone's incalculable mistake. Someone who could not see the full big picture of the decision that they were making and how incalculable and minute those problems would affect humankind. We're seeing the images emerging from Gaza of the strike that hit the hospital and seeing all these parents. So I read a report on the United Nations page recently, and it says in the last 2 weeks, 900 households have been without men. So 900 households are now led by women that were not. 493,000 women and children have been displaced as a result. What did I just say? Someone's incalculable mistake has caused this crisis. Where was the wisdom of God? Did anyone pursue the wisdom of God? Or did someone just boldly go forward and think that their wisdom was all that mattered? We have to be careful about how we impart wisdom, because human wisdom is not the same as God. I'm sorry, for all the great thinkers that are out there, all the great mathematicians, all the great economists, all the great scientists, I acknowledge you and I acknowledge your expertise in your area of study. In fact, I honor your expertise in the area of study. All the political thought leaders who are thinking today, all those who have lived experiences, who were journalists in war zones and who have now come back to give us informed opinions of what they think the crisis or crises, wherever in the world they were positioned, could be. I respect it, I laud it, and I honor it. Here is the issue. Is that the wisdom of God? You are imparting to us your opinions based on what you see. And that is great. I too have an informed opinion based on my survivorship of violence and intimate partner violence. So I seek to encourage women and children how to escape it. Is it always right? Not necessarily. Why? Because my opinion, as informed as it is not the wisdom of God. So we have come to this point in the road. We have come to this point in humanity where we are now faced with these catastrophic situations. Climate change is out of whack. I live in Michigan. Michigan is part of the northern United States. We don't have snow and it's October. The sun is shining so bright. In fact, in a few days, it's going to be 71 degrees. In fact, the National Oceanographic, NOAA, I can't figure out what all of that means, are now predicting that this year, we're not going to have any snow. It's going to be unseasonably warm. So for all the people who are dependent on snow, who have to sell snowmobile and coats and hats and boots and shovels and salt, and all the people who have lodges and snow activities and skiing and so on are their lifeline, they're not going to have that because of climate change. Do you see where I'm coming from? This is why we need the wisdom of God. Maybe it was not so smart when the first industrial revolution started that we let all those emissions go up in the air. Maybe 100 years ago, let's go back to the early 1900s, maybe, when we kind of just, industrialists kind of just let it be. They did whatever they could because they controlled politics, they controlled parliament, they controlled the government, they controlled the influence, they did everything that they could. When you look at it from that perspective, not much has changed. Because today, corporations are still richer than the people. Corporations still have more money and still make the bulk of decisions. Their wisdom is what? Confined and contained to what they think and the outcomes that they have designed for themselves. It's not the wisdom of God. Because if it were, we would have made better decisions that would not what? Result in having a heat dome where people like us who live in the northern part of the country will not see a white Christmas. Do you see where it's coming from? So you might be sitting there and you're saying, wow, that's on the grand scheme of things, Harriet, but how does it relate to me? Well, I can't tell you about you, but I can tell you about me. So I had tried for many years to live a life and to make sure I positioned myself for what I thought would at least be a reasonable outcome that would not necessitate or have me engage in activities that caused poverty. But yet, despite my best efforts, there I was. I tried to use the wisdom of God, and there I was. In 2019, I found myself at the mercy of God. In 2019, it was a Sunday morning just like this. I was sitting on my couch and I was ready to call it quits. It seemed like everybody had moved on. Everybody had left. I was the only person still standing in place. I felt like I was running in place, like I wasn't getting anywhere. And I remember sitting on the couch on that Sunday morning, and there were two things that saved me. Their names are Alexandra and Annalisa. I thought about where they were. They were at work that morning. They had to go to work so that we could eat. They were at work. And I thought about what would they feel like. One was almost finished with law school. The other one was about, had one more year of high school left. And I thought about what their actions would be. What would they think if they were to hear that mommy no longer existed, that I no longer existed? How could they live? Would they finish law school? Would Annalisa finish high school? What would be the outcome of their lives if for the rest of their lives they had to deal with that? So I employed the wisdom of God. I had to turn to God. I said, Lord God, if you can hear me, help. And suddenly I found myself thinking about a song. I just found myself turning the TV on, going to YouTube and looking up for a song. I didn't know who or what I was looking for. I just knew I would know it when I see it. And there was a woman singing a song called There Is a River. And that song made me start to think that the wisdom of God is like a river. Have you ever seen a river flow? Let's talk about the Detroit River. A river flows in one direction. Yeah? Yeah. But the way that it flows, it has many streams in it. It has waves on it. Now, if the river of God could just come to me, just maybe I would get just one part of the wisdom of God. That would be enough to make me think. That would be enough to transform my circumstances, wouldn't it? That's what we need to understand. Sometimes we may not get the whole picture or the big picture. The big picture is for God. Trust in his wisdom that he can see the big picture. You might have a decision to make this week. You might have a decision that has long-term ramifications and consequences for you, your life, and those around you. What do you do? Trust in the wisdom of God. I can feel you saying, what do I do? Listen. Stop for a minute. If you wake up in the night thinking, make no decision until in the morning, trust that the answer that comes to you comes from God. It may not be the loudest decision. It may not be the one that is backed up by graphs and bar graphs and histograms and pivot tables and all kinds of scenarios. It may just be the simplest answer sometimes is the greatest one. I feel like if you are a politician and if you are someone who has a decision to make, trust in the wisdom of God. Sometimes, yes, give credence to the people around you. Give credence to the thought leaders around you. But employ the wisdom of God. Ask yourself, when they say to you, Mr. President, when they say to you, Mr. Mayor, when they say to you, Miss Governor, they say to you, Doctor, when they say to you, Father, whatever your title and position is, if you're just like Harriet, just a person, if they say to you, these are my recommendations, these are what the outlying scenarios could be, turn to yourself and say, I am going to trust in the wisdom of God. I'm going to listen to that still small voice, even when it's not backed up by facts. Because in 2019, there were no facts to back up that I was going to be in this position today. There was nothing remotely. All there existed was hope that if I trusted in the wisdom of God, that he would make it. Now, the Queen of Sheba traveled miles to experience the wisdom of Solomon. She brought money to lay at his table. That was earthly. That's what she saw. That's how much value she placed on it. You know how you are going to show value to the wisdom that God imparts to you? By doing it. Is it that God is demanding something? Nah. What God wants is for your fulfillment, because God has given you free will to decide whether or not you're going to choose his wisdom. It's up to you to choose whether you're going to choose the wisdom of God. It's entirely up to you. And get this, in these last few seconds, God is going to love you anyhow. So let me pray with you in the next few seconds. Father, in Jesus' name, for someone listening, I pray that whatever decision they're going to make, that they will find peace and that they will find the wisdom of God and make the decision that is the best one for their lives. In Jesus' name, be blessed, everybody.